We'll do it live. We'll do it live.
All right, we'll do it live.
Do what live? I'm worried now.
That was a, I forget the guy's name. What was it, Bill? Something rather. Some political guy who flew off the handle and
Clinton?
Like,
we'll do it live.
We'll do it live. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of them cranky old guys.
Yeah.
When I was your age, we didn't even have Telecasters.
I feel like that's something that happened maybe like 10 years ago, but it still feels kind of fresh. I feel like it happened a long time ago.
Yeah, probably so.
Maybe like
that tells you how much I pay attention to American politics.
But everybody Zero knows idea. What you're talking about, except for Richard.
Zero idea what you're talking about right now. I'm literally lost.
Okay, now you're making me Google.
Oh, no, you're not allowed to touch computers, remember? We get complaints. If you
I'm
touch computers,
going, I'm not
we
going
get
to use the C-H-A-T-G-P-T.
Okay, good. Well, while Ryan's doing that, I just want to reiterate how delicious my
Bill
breakfast
O'Reilly.
Was. Bill that's O'Reilly,
Bill
that's
O'Reilly.
Right.
And he used an expletive in there as well, but I'm keeping it kid-friendly.
You know? As you always do. Right.
I want to hear about the breakfast. Tell
Richard,
me about the breakfast.
I did half of your heritage proud this morning. I had some leftover lamb curry with garlic naan bread for breakfast.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that would...
Are you planning on kissing anyone anytime soon?
No.
You probably want to rethink that one.
My family went ahead and reiterated how much they didn't share in my enjoyment of the smell of the kitchen, which I said... Ah, well, you can pay for your own kitchen then, because I'm eating this right now.
And he's like, Dad, I'm three.
Too bad, kid.
You need to be a man.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, young fella.
I shared a student house with a slightly more mature than me student. I use words like advisedly.
So it's like super old then, right?
It means you were 19 and 90? He was 39.
I was 19, he was 25, I think. So, you know, that's a big difference back then. He was a, let's just say he was a fella who could take his drink. And his bedroom in our house was like the first house, first door on the left as you walked through the front door. So literally, he was able to stagger into his room drunk, stagger into the house drunk, open the front door and fall through the door into his own bed. And he did this multiple times. He was legendary for being a very robust drinking fellow. Anyhow.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he couldn't hold it together.
Oh, no. He could drink more than any man I've ever known.
Okay.
He used to take his takeaway curry and leave it on like the windowsill for breakfast the next day because, as you've discovered, that is a delicacy.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, me and my friend were like, is John all right? We better go and check he's all right because he made noises. And we opened the door and we could see him snoring in his bed. And he's a big guy. Like, he makes me look like relatively small. And we just poked his curry on the side, like with our hands together, like, what the hell is this? And like a bear awoken from its sleep by a hunter tickling its honey jar, this thing just lashed out at us. And we all ran from the room, for the curry beast had been awoken. So there is nothing wrong with you eating curry for breakfast. I recommend it.
I don't usually even eat breakfast, but I'm basically going to go hit some heavy squats right when we get done with this, and I thought I should fuel up properly beforehand.
Bulking up, I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you bulk up on peanut butter, Bri?
I did have a little bit of peanut butter this morning. Yes, it was a lovely spoonful or two just to hold me over. And and this has been your food portion of the podcast.
I got a trick for your peanut butter, Bri. Oh. No, don't end it yet.
You got a trick for his what?
Okay. I got a trick for your peanut butter. You ready?
Oh, peanut butter. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Planters makes these sweet and spicy nuts. Have you seen those? They're just peanuts with... Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
You take a handful of those, mix them into your next spoonful.
Yeah. I'm a texture person, though. If I'm eating something like peanut butter and there's something crunchy in it...
Wait, you don't do the crunchy butter?
I do, but... I'm weird. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
I eat the crunchy stuff first off the top, and then I mix it. Yeah, because I don't. I'm a texture. I'm like very. What do you call it? We like very sensitive to textures and stuff.
Weird.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably on some sort of scale somewhere, but yeah, that's texture things are real big for me. Yep.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
So yeah. All right. Now we're done with it.
Put a lid on that jar.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the food portion.
You have made me hungry for peanut butter. I'm just going to let you know.
Peanut butter is delicious.
Oh, we're still talking. Okay.
Yeah. No, we're not.
Okay. No.
Now, I have...
Oh, go ahead, Richard. Sorry.
I have a fairly controversial topic to raise on this podcast.
You're not a guitar player. Do you actually play bass?
I do play. I enjoy playing bass. I had Pro Tools out all weekend, actually. I didn't do much in it. I found an old song and was like, this is really cool. So I recorded a guitar part for it, hated it. Recorded a piano part for it, hated it. And then thought, you know what I should do? Start from the beginning. So I started from the beginning.
Fair enough.
But, Brian, have you bought a Stratocaster or acquired a Stratocaster? And am I right in reading this? You actually enjoy playing it. Have I turned you to the light side, finally?
You know, so it's, I'm glad you brought this up because this actually dives into a big topic that I just put into our notes.
Oh man.
I can't talk about strats for more than 10 minutes.
This goes deeper than that. It goes way deep. So
all right.
I was in Nashville last week, 2 weeks ago, as you listened to this. And because Brent Mason got inducted into the Hall of Fame, like we talked about this a month ago or so.
Every week for the last 4 weeks, because we forget what we say. Yeah.
So it was inducted into that. So I came down for that. But then a good friend of mine, Josh Bird, who's a guitar player in Nashville. He also does some recording and mixing and stuff. And he was at the Castle. Big, you know, people have been, or at least heard of the Castle being in Nashville. It's, you know, it's a big recording studio.
It's a legendary recording studio.
Yeah, legendary. Mm-hmm. In an actual castle. So... Mm-hmm. And it's pretty awesome. So anyways,
In an actual castle.
Well, hold on. For our American friends are like, wow, castle. Everyone outside of America, not your kind of cat. Not like a legit
like 800 medieval castle.
This was a castle built in 1930s, right?
That's right. 32.
Okay, so it's a house with cladding on. That's what you're really telling me.
Well, I mean, it was built like a, I think like a mobster or something back in the day.
I was just pulling it up. Here we go.
Does it have crenellated turrets?
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Is that a British breakfast? Or?
A granulated turret.
Crenellated, not granulated.
Turrets. I've just ate my porridge in crenellated turrets.
Crenulated.
C-R-E-N-N-U-L-A-T-E-D.
Google search.
You'll find
having
that.
Having an irregular, wavy, or serrate outline. Serrate meaning...
look for crenellated turrets.
Serrate means having a jagged edge.
It does, Richard. If you're wanting to know, yes, it does.
Yeah, there we go. It took a while to get there, but we got there.
If you use like fifth grade English with me, it goes better.
Has it got the uppy downy bit on the tall part?
It does, yes. It has the uppy downy bit.
It looks like a legit old castle.
I look forward to the day that I can take either, but preferably both of you, to like a historic English castle, because they are utterly bewildering. Like when you see the stuff that we lived in, Game of Thrones is no lie. Anyhow, okay, I digress. Yeah. Tell me about your castle.
Let me give the history real quick, because they have a short little blurb on their website.
Sure.
Because I'm sure not all of the listeners know about this,
and they should. Yeah, that's true.
The castle was built between 1929 and 1932 by Chicago mobster and bookie John P. Welch to serve as a hideout and resting spot while traveling between Chicago and Florida, as mobsters are wont to do. I added that part in there. they're always going between New York and Florida or Chicago and Florida. It's just a thing they do. I don't know why. Being an avid gambler, Welch would throw lavish and illegal gambling parties on the premises. To this purpose, he was sure to include in the design of the building a hidden passageway that led to an underground mushroom cellar intended to hide his quote-unquote guests. After Welch died in 1945, that seems like he might have not been that old, The castle was sold and turned into a gourmet restaurant for a stint in the late 1940s. During this period, it played host to several big stars at the time, including a bunch of people Richard doesn't know. Over the next 30 years, it served as a writing academy, and then it was bought by the, I don't know how to say this, Nguyen's family, a European bluegrass group.
Yeah.
A few years later, in 1983, Josef Nguyen's founded Castle Recording Studios. Since then, it has been more than 500 gold and platinum artists across all genres have recorded breakout albums here at the castle.
Yes, it's pretty cool. By the way, I was in the mushroom cellar, by the way. That's where they put the amps.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. So I figured like they'd have like this awesome isolated room. They just set up this thing with moving blankets like around all the different amps.
Uh-huh.
And it sounded amazing. And so me and Josh both were scratching our head like, all the trouble that we go through to get a good guitar sound, they've got moving blankets making a little makeshift corner for
they just like have them stretched out on a frame or something?
They just have little frames that they're
how
just
how thick
folded
are these blankets?
Over. Well, they're packing blankets, so they're good. They're pretty good.
They're dense, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the cats. It's legendary studio. Anyways, I thought that was fascinating that down in that actual cellar, that's where they're putting the amps.
Did you take any pictures?
Oh, yes. I can see some pictures, yeah.
And while you were in that cellar, did you take any mushrooms? Was this actually your friend's basement? There's no castle.
Did not see any mushrooms down there. So, but anyway, so I was at this studio with Josh Bird and recording an artist. And some good friends were playing on that session as well. And it just so happened I had a prototype to take to Brent Mason.
Mm.
A little bit of secret out of the bag there. And another prototype.
The
10th prototype or something that I've taken to Brent.
This anyway, is the so prototype type.
Yeah. So I took that over there. Actually, let me back up. So I had some time to kill because I had to meet Brent later in the day. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go into Carter Vintage to look at some strats. Mm-hmm. Look at some cool strats. So, and then of course, looking at strats, and they bring out this $48,000 strat. I'm like, this is great. Can y'all take about 47 grand off that?
That's about, this is great, but can we just change the pickups and electrics? They're a little bit flaky here. Mm-hmm.
There's some scratches on this thing.
What was that $48,000 strat, though? What was it?
Candy apple red, though.
Yeah,
you've got to love candy apple red. 64.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, so after that, I went to Brent's house and going through the pedal and was talking to him about looking at strats at the at Carter Vintage. And Brent, being Brent, said, "Well, I've got extra guitars." he said, "Why don't you look at some of the stuff I got and see if you like any of them?" So I'm going through a few of them, and I mean, I've known Brent forever, and he knows like the kind of stuff I like, right? Just kind of like it, just working with him so long. And so he's like, here's two I think you're going to love. One was pretty damn good. This other one he gave me, he's like, now this is a Parts guitar. It's not a Fender, but he's I used it on a couple albums. I don't remember which ones, but he said, I loved it. And it has a Glazer neck. It's an exotic, like the guitar pedal company makes guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Exotic body with a Glazer neck. I don't even know what pickups are in it. I assume maybe the ones from Exotic. I really don't know. But I played it like acoustically, and I'm like, oh wow, this resonates really well. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, it's great sustain. It's just it's a magic piece. And he's like, and I'm like, how much you want for it? And Brent, being Brent, is like, you know what? He's like, just take it with you and play it for a while, see if you like it. Like, you know, we just take it for a little bit. And I was like, okay. He's like, you know, and if you want to buy, I mean, we'll figure out how much later or something, you know, not a big deal. And I'm like, okay. No, thank you for the guitar, Mr. Mason. Thank you. Anyway, so I took it home, plugged it in, and I was like, holy crap balls in a metal bucket. This thing is fantastic.
Wow, that's serious. Yeah. That's very serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, this is the Strat sound I've been wanting. Where's this been all my life?
That's at Bennett Brent's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem I'm having, and I reached out to the fine folks at Exotic, and they're trying to help me, but problem I'm having, the tremolo that was in the case, tremolo bar, I should say, does not fit into the bridge. And I measured it, and it was 5.5 millimeter. I'm like, okay, so it's a little small. The next step up is a 6. I was going to go on Amazon and buy a 6 millimeter, right? Nope, that's too big. So I'm scratching my head, and I'm like, okay.
A half a millimeter, and it's too big.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't see a 5.75 anywhere.
Right.
So I reached out to them. I'm like, I can't find a tremolo to fit this. And I think they use Godot. I think it's a bridge company they use.
I think so, yeah.
So he gave me the part. I mean, I wish I could remember the fellow's name. Super nice guy.
Is it a screw-in or a push-in?
It's a push-in. Yeah. It's a push-in.
Hmm.
Yeah, very strange. So anyways, they're trying to see if they can find an extra that to send to me. Nice people there at Exotic Guitars and Pedals.
Godot. I love Godot hardware. I really do. They make good stuff.
Yeah,
they
oh,
really
man.
Do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this it's just... I don't usually gush over Strats, as you probably figured out.
It can ruin the finish if you do.
Yeah, especially if it's nitro.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you've been drinking there, boy.
That's right. Yeah, don't sneeze all over it.
Serious question. How do I tell if it's not, again, listeners of this podcast probably know by now, I know a few things really well and am pretty dumb in a lot of other areas. So how do I tell if it's nitro or not?
You should be able to tell by just touching it. Nitro is going to be softer.
Nitro softer. Mm-hmm. I mean, get a little bit of moisture to your hand.
Hold on.
Let me
let me just hit this against it. Yeah, it's soft. It's soft.
Does it get sticky? When you
hold on. Wait, I don't know if it was sticky before or after.
I'm not sure I want to know.
Peanut butter hands.
It's always sticky, Richard. He's got his fingers in
peanut butter.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good question.
I think this is a 5 and a bit. I think this is a 5.2 I've got here, Bri.
Well, my 5.5 is too small.
The listeners can't tell what you're holding, Richard. You could have just described something that nobody needs described.
Both are accurate.
It's about 5.2 millimeters. About what it is, boy.
Yeah.
No, you should definitely be able to tell it. I mean, if even without the checking, you can tell. A nitro finish has a slightly different... if it's very high gloss, it's polyester. If it's got an ever so slightly more satin finish to it, it's very subtle, but if you put the two next to each other, you can see it. It's nitro. Also, the thickness. If it's a thin coat, then it's nitro.
How do you tell if it's thick or thin, though, if there's no chips? How do you tell?
Well, I mean, on a new guitar, you really just have to use your eyes. Like you can sort of see the thickness of the coating and of the paint finish or whatever you've got on that. Because that looked like that was almost a stain on that guitar.
It's kind of stainy, yeah, and it's pretty shiny. So the reason why I ask is because I like the checking. So I'm like, what if I just stick it in the freezer?
I think you've got to do a little bit more than that, Brian.
Yeah.
If it was just stick it in the freezer, hey presto, checking, we'd all be doing
well,
it.
Hold on. I have to ask a question then, because Sweetwater, whenever I bought a guitar from them, they have specifically on the box, do not open immediately in the wintertime, because checking can happen.
So the checking actually happens from the change in temperature.
Right, yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
But it's got to be extreme.
That's why I think if you throw it in a freezer for overnight and you pull it out into a warm room, there's a good chance it'll check if
it's nitro. So all I need to do is put it in the freezer, and then I have a big kerosene salamander heater. I'll hold it in front of that, heat it up like crazy, right?
Nothing could go wrong with this plan.
No, that'll be fine.
Nothing could go wrong with this plan.
And Fred would be like, what did you do to my guitar?
I said you could have it, not barbecue it.
I may be wrong, but I think some of the relicking guys use a razor blade to kind of draw the checking and then perform the heat exchange thing, which draws out even more extreme checking because you've kind of traced a line for it to split along. But I have never relicked a guitar myself, Bri.
Me either.
If I did, it would look like that one time I tried to customize the stock of one of my air rifles, and the thing looks now like it was made out of a block of wood with a metal barrel on it. It's not good. I'm not good with wood.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't think I'm taking a razor blade to a guitar, but...
I mean, on the back of the guitar, when you're trying to cut some stuff up into very precise measurements, you might need a razor blade for that, but that's a different thing.
You use your Strat as a cutting board.
I didn't say that. I mean, that's the only thing I would use a Strat for.
What about if it's an 8-string Strat?
No, okay, now we could do something with it.
Baritone Strat.
There's one back there.
Do they make baritone Strats?
Sure. Somebody does, I'm sure.
They make everything. I'll tell you what they do make now. They do make a Strat with nice-looking gold foil TV Jones-style pickups in a special edition from Fender. I think it's Fender Japan. And there is also a Jazzmaster. I'm just going to say that if anyone's looking. It's my birthday in 2 months.
So the Jazzmaster is okay for me. I know Blake loves it. I do like the John 5. I do like it.
But yeah, so that's the other thing that Fender just launched today, the Ghost Telecaster, the John 5 Ghost Telecaster, which is
pretty cool.
White.
I like it.
With red pickups. It looks like it's got a kill switch in the top of the body, so you can do some of that Tom Morello kind of jazz. There's nothing.
Tom Morello does not play jazz. He's not known for jazz.
It's Tom Morello jazz.
Okay, fair.
You can't define me with your square words. No, it looks great, Bri, doesn't it? But I worry about a guitar that white. It ain't going to stay that white for long in my hands.
Oh, see, I actually like a guitar to look dirty and beat up. Back to the straddle just for a second. That's like, it looks too perfect, you know? And I really don't want to wait 20 years for it to wear down enough to be relic. I just want to drag it behind my truck.
I made a video about relic and pedals. If you send me that Strat, I'll get it relic for you. It'll look different than when you...
I could do a fantastic relic job for you, Bri. You send it over to me. It'll come back so relic'd it looks like a Squire. It looks like a Squire bullet. I'll turn that Strat into a Squire bullet, and I'll keep the spare parts myself.
But this is a Squire on the headstock. Yeah, it's just part of the mod.
It was a heavy, heavy relic.
90s relic job. But so again, the Strat that you have borrowed, I just love the idea of Brent just turning up one day and going, $20,000, Bri. You now owe me, and it's accumulating by the week, but I'm sure
that's right. Interest.
Yeah. But it's like a light shell pink. But what intrigued me is it has a gorgeous flame neck, which you're saying is a glazer neck.
Yes.
And locking tuner keys.
Yes. I love those I have them on the Brent Mason telly, of course. That's what Brent uses. And Brent put them on the glazer neck for the Strat because that's what he likes. And I've come to the conclusion that the keys make a sound that I enjoy a little bit better than vintage keys on a Telecaster.
Are you hitting your amp with them or something?
No, I don't know what it is. It's just like a little bit more of a mellow thing.
Well, you're adding some weight to the headstock. So this is... just like those guys who wrap the band around the headstock, surely. This is just adding a little bit of extra weight, so it should resonate a little bit more, I would have thought.
I don't know.
You're the scientist here, man. Come on, get your charts out.
This is not where my area of expertise is, but I'm willing to learn. So, to me, like the Brent Mason Tele with those keys, I have a Tele just like it without the keys, and it's quite a bit brighter. The only thing I can attribute it to would be the keys. I mean, I guess it could be pickups and stuff, but I've
swapped
pickups.
Well, it could also be fret wire as well.
Stainless
steel versus a soft and nickel compound.
I guess there's a billion different things it could be, right?
The only way to do it would be to swap them out on the same exact guitar. That's the only way to really know.
Yeah,
sounds like you got a science experiment.
It sounds like I got a YouTube video coming, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why you don't buy like three Squires with different necks and play swappy neck and see what happens.
Why can't you just swap the tuners? Why does he got to swap the whole neck?
Tuner's too much work. There's two screws per tuner at least. Brian's not got the time for that.
I mean,
swap the neck off, four screws,
two,
done.
Let's boom. See, two times six strings. I mean, carry the one.
About 14.
That's 12 screws.
that's
12 screws.
Wait, six strings?
Yeah,
hold standard. On. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah, huh. See, I don't really need the other two because, you know.
But you only have six?
I only have six.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How do you chug?
Oh, how do I jit?
Yeah, how do you jit?
I jit by using the Digitech
drop.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That can help.
Yep.
That can help. A little artifacty here and there for like, if you, I don't know. I've heard some bands that do use that exclusively for their down tuning stuff, and it sounds pretty good. Although it's not what I would ever do on a recording.
It's good in a pinch. You know, mm-hmm. if you just need it for, you know, you go to Lynyrd Skynyrd one time, then you go to your favorite, or one song, and then you go to your favorite, name a band that plays eight
Animals
strings.
As Leaders.
Yeah. Animals There's, as Leaders.
People are always swapping back and forth between
right.
those two bands. Yeah.
And that Tosin, that's Tosin's band, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you know Tosin's like playing his stuff, and he's like, you know what? Let's play Freebird. Never mind, I didn't say it.
Did you say Freebird?
Hey, someone accurately pegged my American accent the other week. They were like, what's the name of that rooster off that cartoon?
Foghorn Leghorn.
That's it. They were like, you've kind of got the voice of Foghorn Leghorn. And I was like thinking about it. I was like, you know what? That was one of my early influences on accents. Has he stopped yet?
He's still playing Freebird in the
Can
background.
Can we unplug him?
Do I keep going?
Oh, thanks.
The real Freebird solo is like 4 minutes long.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, if you're playing the Freebird solo, at some point you have to stop and go pee. So, and what I, my trick, so my trick to playing Freebird in a bar is have a wireless. That way you can take your guitar and go pee.
As I said, if you gush, you can ruin the finish of your guitar. You need to be careful. Hey, speaking of middle-aged men activities, I'm going to come back sure. to your tuning heads in a minute, but I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3 this weekend, and
that,
Brian, is a film that is 2 hours and a half long.
Oh, plus, my goodness. You know how many times longer than a TikTok video that is?
Yeah, 2.5 hours longer than a TikTok
right.
video.
Right, about 150 times.
Yeah, about 6,000 metric tons. So I was slightly worried about what I consumed whilst watching that film because I'm like, I don't want to be getting up to go for a pee 10 times because I've just drunk 30 gallons of cola. So I didn't.
I've heard the perfect trick in that situation. It, apparently, this works every time. All you need is a catheter.
It will work every time. Every
I'm
single
sure
time.
It will.
Yeah.
I don't really fancy plumbing in some sort of medical appliance just to watch a film. At that point, I think I am in trouble.
I mean, it's all about how bad you want it, Richard.
Right. How bad do you want to watch this entire movie without
a
break?
I mean, people will be glad to know that I am still internally strong, if mentally weak. So there were no issues. It was fine. But what a great film. Really enjoyed it.
It was fun. I had an empty popcorn tub. I just, you know, went right there in the theater. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's dark. No one can
I'm
see
thinking
what
of a contraption
see.
From a film called With Nail and I, but I'm pretty sure neither of you have seen With Nail and I.
Oh, I love With Nail and I. Oh, yeah.
With Nail and I is one of
That's
the greatest films.
That, right?
No, it's not. It's Richard E. Grant.
Oh, yeah.
And it has one of the greatest soundtracks of all time. It has If
Bowie
Six Was Nine.
Somewhere?
No, Bowie. Six Was Nine by Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
It has King
this
Curtis's
is about the drunk guys, right?
Kind of, yeah. Has King Curtis's version of White a Shade of Pale
mm-hmm.
with Bernard Purdy on the drums. Oh, what a song. Brian, stop it. Stop it now. Anyway, back to the tuners.
I have heard of Bernard Purdy.
Of course you have. He's one of the world's greatest drummers.
Yeah.
back
We've had
to,
the same conversation like 4 times on this
yeah,
podcast.
We have.
About With Nail and I. I still haven't seen it, but I will one day.
It's one of the greatest
Probably
films of all
not
time.
Me.
Yeah, you, Brian, you must never see it. It will disturb you so much you will never come to my country.
I did go through all the seasons of Family Guy and start it back over again. So there's that. I've accomplished that this past year.
Can't you achieve the same thing by watching one episode of Family Guy over and over again and just changing out the random...
Well, I mean, what's the fun in that?
Remember that one time when I was insert variable here.
Right.
Whenever you tell me things like that, Brian, I flash back to all the moments on this podcast where you're like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I just watched 18 seasons of an adult animation that got progressively worse.
I can't be bothered
worse.
With anything more than a minute long because I have to binge watch something that's been out for 25 years.
Hold on. To be fair, I don't binge watch it. I just watch it in the evenings before bed. So it's taken me about a year to get through all of them. And I went through them all, and I'm like, time to start back over because I forget what happened the first season.
Yeah,
I've every time watching, I see a light bright, I think of Adam West. I don't know. Yeah,
I've started watching King of the Hill again because that is both wholesome and an accurate representation of the three of us. So I'm enjoying that.
It kind
of,
who's Bobby?
Not me. Whoa, steady on there. We're surely like, all the guys.
I like Bobby. Bobby's a good kid.
Bobby?
I've started watching Wu-Tang.
Before we switch topics, it has been said that I remind people of, what's the bug guy? Dale?
Dale Gribble.
Yeah. Dale Gribble.
I don't see it, but somehow I'm a Dale Gribble.
Yeah, there's some vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, there you go.
It's the government.
Good.
Dale, you'd rather
I'm gonna
be...
need you to crawl out from under my house now.
You would rather be compared to Dave Gribble than Dale Gribble. I don't know why I said Dave, but than Quagmire from Family Guy. Quagmire from Family Guy is the most wrong character ever, all time.
No. There's another Family Guy character that's much worse.
Okay, but he's not really a main character. Yeah, right?
I don't know. What could are you?
Oh, I know the old filler.
Chester.
Yeah. Yes. Back to tuners, Brian.
Oh my God, that's great.
That was fantastic. The Wu-Tang drama on Disney Plus. I'm late to the show as ever, but I started watching it. It's like a fictionalized version of their life, but with some great music interspersed. Highly recommend that. That's very good. That's my TV slot over. Tuners, Bri. I prefer vintage tuners with the open top and without the little screwy bit at the back.
Well, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Some people do. And I have tellies with those on it. I'm just saying, if I had to pick, and I'm building a guitar, I'm going with locking tuners, man. I used to be there. They stay in tune. I like the gearing of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just dig them. I like the smell. I like the taste.
The problem, I like vintage tuners, and I have lots of vintage tuners. I'm looking around here. Got lots of vintage style tuners, and they're fine. They're not bad. But one thing that bothers me, even though it shouldn't, is how they're all kind of loose until you put strings on them. Like, I like how, like, a good locking tuner or a high-quality tuner just feels like a firm piece of machinery.
You're
but
right.
Like, the vintage tuners are always a little bit sloppy until you tune them up to
pitch.
You're
exactly right.
It just bothers me, even though they're functionally fine.
Yeah, I've always thought, how in the world is this accurate? Like, I can move this a quarter of an inch. What's the deal?
Yeah, but apparently they work fine. I've never had an issue with a vintage tuner. You know, the one style of tuner that I do have issues with multiple times is like the Clusons. I've had the back pop off of Clusons multiple times, and then the gear doesn't engage anymore. Oof. I've had that happen 3 times on Cluson tuners.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing with your tuners, my man?
Are you tuning all your guitars like 4 octaves above where they should be?
No, you know me. They go down. Never up.
Oh, right.
Never up. Always down. Only drop
that's
two.
Right.
Are you like taking a baritone like, I want this an E?
The first time it ever happened to me was, I gotta get this thing up to... No, I gotta get this 90 string up to a high E somehow. I must do it. Random aside, I made a short clip a few weeks ago drilling out a tuner to fit a 90 string in it, and somebody on YouTube misunderstood, and they're like, since when are 9s heavy? And I was like, that's 90.
Right.
90. It's a different
thing. Zero.
Yeah. But anyway, all that aside. No, the Clusons, I had them on my Les Paul Special, and you know, we would go back and forth between like drop C and standard tuning fairly regularly. I only had one guitar at the time. And one day the back of the tuner just popped off. Well, it was still new enough at the time that it was under warranty. So I got a new one, put it on there. Everything was fine for another few months when a different tuner did the same exact thing. And I swapped it out for Godot's. Never had that issue again. And then fast forward to just a couple years ago, I had a guitar that I ordered that came with those. And same thing happened again. And that one, I actually only went like maybe a step and a half, or excuse me, maybe like a half step down and then back to standard.
Three octaves.
Yeah, three octaves. Exactly. Now, I just tune it down a little bit, bring it back to standard, and they don't seem to hold up for me for some reason. I've got lots of them, but that's the only tuner that's ever actively given me problems.
Interesting.
Maybe you should get a side hustle job for them, testing or something.
No. I'll just buy Godot's.
Yeah.
Or Grover's. I've had good luck with Grover's too.
Grover's, I like Grover's. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on a bit of a completely changing topic here, but you've been on a bit of a deep dive on Reddit again, Bri. I thought we'd banned you from there.
No, I enjoy a good Reddit. I enjoy a good Reddit subreddit every now and then.
And you've been into 3D printing this week.
Wretched hive of scum and villainy.
So, okay, how did I get into 3D printing? I think I got into 3D printing.
You were trying to print a tremolo arm, weren't you?
What was I
can't buy one. I'll print one.
I think so. I'm one of those people that, you know, if I'm curious about something, I'll just dig into it, read up as much as I can. And it usually leads me down a rabbit hole. And then about 8 o'clock at night, I look back and think, I got nothing done today. Well, I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean.
No, so, you're being entirely accurate. Don't try and cover it up.
I was looking at 3D printing prick. Oh, God. Sorry.
Whoa. I mean, I can tell you, Bri, there's probably a lot of money in
guitar picks. Mm-hmm. Because I like the little stubby thingies. What are these? Hold on.
What are we talking about? Oh, the plectrums. I get it.
I use Max Grips and Dunlops, and I also use Dunlop Sculpted Plectras. What do they call? Prime Tones? Yeah. Those are two of my favorite flat picks. And I like the little grippy things. So anyways, I was thinking, I wonder if a person could just print their own picks. And I wonder if anyone's done that. So of course, yes, they have. That led me to the 3D printing subreddit, which then I did a search for guitar. And then I found all kinds of things people are 3D printing, including guitars. So then that led me down the rabbit hole of watching videos about people who 3D printed guitars and et cetera, et cetera. Fascinating. Loved it. It's amazing.
And what did you learn through all this? Are you going
to
start 3D printing
things?
There's
money to be made a million different ways. Literally, my thought is there's business opportunity after business opportunity for someone who just wants to make a few bucks on the weekend or whatever. Like a million different ways to make money doing something you love. That's literally where my thought went.
Picks, yes. 3D printed guitars, limited, I would say.
Well, that's why I said a side thing. If very limited, but still customizable for a person.
You and your best mate who doesn't think you're a complete doofus for 3D printing a huge...
Well, hold on. So I'm not literally saying everybody should 3D print their guitars, but I'm thinking there's somebody out there that would like to have a particular type of guitar. Maybe it's... a funky shape. They just want to hang on the wall for something fun, you know? So when their buddies are over for poker or whatever, what the hell is that? That's weird looking. And, you know, it's just a thing.
That is what my friends say when they come over, but it's usually about me.
And what I find, you know, rather than hanging guitars on the wall to provoke conversation, try art. It's a lot flatter, a lot lighter, and you don't have to 3D print it. You can 2D print it.
I got them all over the place.
I was gonna say, I would argue that's what guitars can be. That's certainly what pedals have been for a good bit.
I tried very hard to get a guitar hung up in our living room. Anna was like, nope, not happening. Nearly did it with the PRS.
I want to show you guys some art.
This isn't your living room. This is your...
Look at that.
This is your man cave. Are they...
Look at that.
It's a deer skull.
Yeah, you like that?
Good Lord, yes.
It's pretty cool.
Is that an altar to Satan that you're building up there? Steady on there, Black Sabbath. What's going on?
That's the first my dad and I's first 4-point bucks that we ever got. So he made that sculpture. And mom, when they moved house, mom
said, "That's not going." Is your dad Aleister Crowley? Did he when he did this, did he make you drink blood and wear a darkened black robe?
He didn't make me drink blood. I did that on my own. Oh, wait.
That's a Friday for Blake. What are you talking about?
It was a Portland Friday. I got to give a big shout out to him again, but this is my new favorite pick. This is the 2mm honey pick, glow in the dark with the drill hole all the way through, which is the superior grip.
Because
you just can't move that. And if you've been trying my funny holding technique, this is the pick for you, Bri. The pick of
you know
destiny.
I've talked to Rick quite a bit. I just need to follow up and get some picks from him. I really do.
I want that exact pick that you have there, Richard. That looks like my thing.
I accidentally picked up another pick earlier and was like, I don't like this. This is not me. I think we should think about doing some custom picks for our patrons, though.
Hey, that's a cool idea.
I think we should talk about it.
I've heard you can 3D print those things.
First, you need a 3D printer. Although, Bri, if you want to do it on the cheap, here's what you do. You know that coloured toothpaste that you used to get as a kid? Yeah, three different colours of that. Let it dry out. 3D print in toothpaste.
That's a great idea.
Good idea. Yeah.
And it smells good.
I mean, you could just mix a little bit of drywall mud in there, you know? You're fantastic.
You guys are full of ideas today.
Full of something, certainly. So I am intrigued by 3D printing, and I would like to see what 3D printed picks were like.
People do it. I mean, I've never used one, but apparently some people love to print. I got to go careful here. Their own picks.
Print their own picks.
Right.
Yes. Plectrums.
Plectrums, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Plectra.
There are 3D printers out there that print metal these days, so I'm sure you could find some sort of material that would make a great 3D printed pick.
Yeah. Mm. Be a fun project. So that's the kind of stuff, like, I know it sounds stupid, but that's the kind of stuff that, to me, like, sounds like a fun project on a weekend. Like, I'm going to set up a 3D printer and just print something, print some pics or something. Print a
What's
pick
a
guard.
Weekend?
Weekend is the time that you can do the fun stuff. Like,
it's when Brian doesn't call you. That's the weekend.
Like, take rat songs and turn them into country songs.
I thought that was just what you do.
Did you do
something clever with the vocal there, or were you just joshing with me earlier?
Okay, let me back up. So
I haven't published it yet, Bryce.
A week ago, as you listen, yeah, it just went live on TikTok like right before we started. So a week ago, as you listen to this, depending when you listen, back in May of 2023, at some point, I did a video about I took Rat's song called "Round and Round." Of course, I have the isolated tracks from Guitar Hero and Rock Band stuff. And I took the vocals. I took off as much of the reverb as I possibly could with a variety of plugins and gating and stuff. And then I pitched the vocals so they were in a major key because it's kind of a pentatonic thingy. And then I turned it into a honky-tonk country song. So
yeah. Yeehaw.
So what did you do to the vocals other than de-verb them?
So I pitched them. I pitched them up a little bit so they're in a major key.
And okay.
Then, of course, you have to, because of what country does to vocals in the 90s, you have to make them wider. You have to put a little room on it. And then you put a smaller type of plate reverb on it. Mm-hmm. EQ it a little differently so it doesn't sound like 80s rock.
Quadruple track it, Vocaline 5, stick a high harmony, stick a low harmony. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the other client. Sorry. Getting confused.
So, yeah, then I had two good friends of mine, Cannon and Steve. Steve played the steel guitar on it.
And that isn't all you. I'm disappointed, Brian, because he's got some chops.
I cannot play the steel, unfortunately.
But the intro, which I don't think was the steel, was it? Or was
I did guitar stuff.
Yeah, the guitar intro was. Yeah. I don't know what you country boys say out there. Sheet kicking, is that what they do? When they do the laundry?
Cannon Maltz in Nashville did the piano, and Steve Nelson is the steel player from Nashville that did that.
Pretty damn awesome.
I just did the guitar and bass and all the mixing and mastering and all that crap. But that was my weekend. It was fun. Well, and my Monday too, because that was like, believe it or not, those things take about 3 days to do. You would not think
a minute
long TikTok takes me 3 freaking days to do.
Oh, the value there is insane, Bri. This is exactly what we should spend all of our time doing. Mm-hmm. Making videos for a platform that's slowly being banned by the entire world.
The thing is, even as a kid, I was thinking about this earlier, I've always been the type of person that would take a song and like, as a teenager, be like, if it was a country song, it'd sound like this. You know, I was that guy at a party, the annoying guy. And
that's why Brian only ever got invited once to anybody's party.
And that's why I had no friends.
It's funny though, Brian.
Hey, I was impressed you had 2 friends there, Bri. I thought when you said I took my 2 friends, Righty and Lefty, into the studio with me. But yeah, hey, it's good to hear. It's good to have friends.
Brian, I think you were actually a little bit ahead of a trend. You know, I know that people have done this before, but covers in other genres other than the original genre that they were in has become a huge thing on social media. I just saw a guy doing a very good, I should have sent it to you. I got to find him again. Really great versions of Blink-182 songs in country, but like acoustic old school country.
Oh, we need to send him a cease and desist. This is our IP. What the hell? We're the country breakers.
I've got the trademark on that, fellas.
Well, people have been doing pop songs into punk and metal songs forever. They even had like a punk goes pop compilation back in the early 2000s that was really popular. But on social media in particular, it seems like taking genres and turning them into other genres has gotten extremely hot in the last year or so. And you were ahead of that curve.
I think my absolute
luck,
my absolute favorite of that sort of genre, Blake, is where the Toy Dolls took the song Nelly the Elephant, which is a like 1950s Disney style happy song, and turned that into a punk song back in, I think it was like mid 80s. That was fantastic. I'm all there for that. Right. This is your next thing. Yeah. Turn Disney songs into country songs.
Now, that's not as fun as turning, you know, cliched 80s rock songs into country songs. Yeah, you might
be right. The Disney songs would be easier because most of those are already going to be in a major key.
I will say, though, that I was blown away whenever I took Willie Nelson and made it into a Lit song, because the guys from Lit actually responded and said they loved it. And I was like, you weren't supposed to hear that, though.
We're in some really dangerous territory here. We've had Willie Nelson. We've had 3D printed pricks. This could go very badly wrong at some point. I was going to raise another large subject, but I've just looked at the time and realized that large subject is going to have to wait till next week.
Yep.
But we do have to touch on a couple of things. Full Tone are back in business.
Oh, yes.
Did they ever really go away? Have they done the old 1-2 on us here? What's your take on it, guys?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't kept up with it. I remember when Mike announced that they were no longer going to be making stuff in California. And I know the building was like up for sale around the same time. And I don't remember exactly how the whole saga unwound there, but I do remember that happening. But I don't know. I know he's been in Tennessee for a while now, but it doesn't feel like that long. Like, it hasn't been 2 years. It's maybe been a year. I don't know.
6 months, 8 months, maybe, now, so yeah.
It's really hard to gauge exactly.
A week is a long time in pedal politics.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, Richard, did they ever go away? I think so, but I don't know that they ever officially stopped selling, because he basically came out and said, hey, the last few pedals of it that were made in California are going to be up for sale soon. So I'm not really sure how it's all played out exactly, but it sounds like more Full Tones on the way, according to these comments. Is that right?
So if you bought one as an investment, you might be out of luck.
I was going to say, didn't the prices of some of those kind of go fairly high there for a bit?
Yeah, but they tried to do it with like OCDs and full drives and stuff. And it's like, I don't think very many people actually bought them at those elevated prices. People tried to get it. But listing and selling are two very different things. And there are thousands of OCDs out there. So it's hard for me to imagine anybody actually got that kind of money for their OCD.
Right.
No, maybe one or two people, but I don't think it was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, that covers that. But we cannot leave today without talking about the Boss SDE 3000 delay, especially the EVH striped version. I'm just going to say, when I showed it to our good pal, Jamie Humphreys, who is a massive EVH fan, I think he possibly fainted, had a heart attack, and had an accident all at the same time. He is very, very into this. Bri, is this a circuit you're into? Silence speaks volumes.
Which one was it again?
The SDE 3000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The delay.
The twin delay. Digital.
I understand why people would like it. For me personally, it's not something I'm really interested in as a player.
Brian's trying not
When's
to crap on
you
a product
a,
while saying
a real
he doesn't
SDD
like it.
3000, Brian.
I'm old, and I remember like I remember buying pedals that like that's how you change patches on them. Like you put this bank here and this arrow, and go up here and do this, and that's what the pedal feels like to me. And I don't like that because I didn't like it then.
But I think you're missing its USP.
I get it.
Possibly not in the standard version. It is in the EVH version where they got access to his actual pedal.
Yeah.
And basically strip the presets off it.
Yeah.
And those presets are actually Eddie's presets.
That's great. I don't play Eddie Van Halen stuff.
Well, maybe you should, fella.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand how a person would love it. For me as a player, like, I'm just like, cool. That's cool. But I would, if it's just me, like, man, just give me a straight up, give me three delays. Give me a tape delay, give me an analog delay, digital delay.
What you need is 11 delays. 11 delays in one pedal. Now, what kind of brilliant company would come up with a pedal that had 11 delays in one? Perhaps
I think Boss has one.
Has that got 11 delays?
I think so. I think Strymon's got one too, actually. The timeline.
I think Source Audio does as well.
Yeah, Source Audio. Yeah.
Do you know who else has got one?
Maris. Yeah.
Keeley.
Yeah.
And that that
Keeley's
fella
got
out
one
of Indiana.
Quite a few, I think, right? Isn't Keeley got?
One or two.
I was using a Metaverse this weekend, actually.
What now?
What's
a Metaverse?
Yeah, it's made
is that
by,
the Facebook?
It's
is that
made
Facebook?
By this, well, it's a sausage company that got into pedals.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We've had Willy.
Oscar
we've had
Meyer.
The 3D pricks. Now we're on to sausages. No.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten Wampler sausage, Brian?
All the time. Literally, my favorite sausage.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's good sausage.
It's not because it's my name. It's just because, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I will say I do know the people that are involved in the running of that company, and there are some guitar players in the family. And we mutually like each other. How about that?
So
how about
do you
they sponsor this podcast with sausage?
I'm up for that. Would it make it across the Atlantic? I'll just turn up for slightly moldy.
I think if you put enough ice with something, it'll last for a while.
Oh, it'd last that trip, no problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you pay for your sausage with pedals? Do you go in and say, I'll swap you a pound of sausage for an ego.
Nope. I do what everyone else does in my town and head to the local Walmart to buy their sausage.
I'm just here
so
to
it's,
say,
it's like a brand
I can be
that's
persuaded.
Laid around.
Yeah.
I can be persuaded by fine meats. I'm just saying.
It's good
you
stuff.
You can be persuaded by a sausage.
Yeah, that's right. Ground sausage, especially.
Mm-hmm. A ground sausage?
Ground, like, in, so you can make patties with it?
Mm-hmm. Sausage meat, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Crumbly sausage, as such.
And that does not conclude the food section of the podcast because we managed to bring it in at the end.
We got right back to sausage meat. I think I'm done on the gear news.
Okay.
Oh, no. Brian, when you buy your Strat, you need to buy one of these new Daddario padlock guitar straps.
I was looking
with
at that
built-in lock.
Yeah. While you were talking about the Eddie Van Halen thing, I was actually reading about the Daddario padlock guitar strap.
It's a padlock? Where's this at?
That's what the name says. Launches padlock guitar straps.
Why don't I see this in the document?
It's about four under the beautiful gold foil Jazzmaster. You will be mine.
$25 and let's see, offers players designs of all styles and include this has a rubber washer with a guitar strap on the independence and object to getting some strap security. Designed to improve the technique by making the rubber part of the strap end itself included. Like it's all one part. It's all the strap the lock mechanism is part of the strap itself.
So they've taken the old Grolsch bottle cap trick and built it into the strap, is what they've done.
Yes, essentially.
Sure. Okay.
Does it say tested on Brian Wampler?
They did not ask me to test this, which, your mileage may vary. I can't tell you how well it's going to do.
The number one slinger of neck-based Stratocasters
right there,
Brian Wampler.
Is this why you wanted a Strat? So you could toss it around again?
My Strat-tossing days are over. They're over. I learned my lesson from that video years ago.
There's the title really for the show,
and I think we're done, gentlemen. I think this conversation is going down the gutter rapidly.
Well, before we leave,
we got to thank our special executive producers, brother. That's what we got to do.
And who would those be? Who might those be?
Let's see here. Let me cue up the... We got Bill Bays. We got Jake Young from Man the Helm podcast. You know Man the Helm? That's where you go and you Man the Helm podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Justin Burke. We got David Tindall. Nighthoss. Dave Trombetti.
Yeah.
Shannon Weaver in the band. Reduced to Rust, yeah. Brother. Yeah. Those guys over there. Love they eat their vitamins. I can tell.
Yeah.
Eric Wilson. Vidar Frostad.
Michael Freer.
Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring.
The best in wiring.
Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks.
There you go.
DJ Patty F. Dylan Talks Stone. Strand. Yeah. Kevin Arrington, brother.
Kevin.
Barry from Grez Guitars.
Grez.
Felicity, who makes the annoying memes.
Love
Tom
Felicity
Kelly.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Pigsy. John O'Neill. Robert Carr. Hunter Hudson.
Hunter.
Rob Stokes.
Rob.
Jordan from Poison Noises.
Oh yeah.
Nick Spano.
Yeah. Yes.
The Twang Kings. Sasha Scher.
Sasha.
Jay Stratton. Seth Wilford. Dude. Grumpy Mike. Post. Mike Peace. And Harvey Petals.
Brother. Yeah.
What you gonna do when our executive producers run wild on you?
Have I died and gone to hell?
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.